the word. Brother Clemens will come in his own way.
We thank and praise God. Let us pray. Eternal and gracious God, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for this assembly, O God. Your awesome people, O God. We pray, O God, that you be here with us, O God. Deliver a word to your people, O God, that would break them. Deliver a word to your people, O God, that would set the captives free. Deliver a word to your people, O God, that would edify your people, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you. We give you glory and honor through the holy name. We pray, oh God, that you bless Pastor Moore in his absence, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory. The people of God say it. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of I'll be reading on this morning from the fourth book of the Bible, the book of Numbers, 16th chapter, verses 20 through 22. And the Bible reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation?" Amen. Amen. We thank God for reading God's word. Amen. For a thought, we'll be sharing from that text, several other in that chapter. For a subject, when God separates. And not knowing it was Children Month, Youth Month, breaking every chain. I think it's still befitting for this text. But before I go any further, I'd like to thank again for the opportunity. You may be seated. I'd like to thank again Pastor Moore in his absence for this opportunity to share the bread of life with this awesome congregation. I thank God for Dr. Ward. I thank God for Reverend Curry. And I thank God for Sister Ramona, Reverend Ramona back there, Williams, and Reverend Wilson, and any other preachers in the house. On the way here this morning, I picked up a person that I thought was a stranger, but his name was Peter John, and come to find out he was a preacher and he was headed to this place. So I thank God for Reverend Peter John on this morning. And my wife is to be here this morning. Yes, I need glasses. I'm not sure if she's here. If she's here, she needs to raise her hand because I don't see her. So we thank God and praise God for her on this morning. And again, this text here in the book of Numbers deals with Moses and Aaron. It deals with people in your life that would challenge you, that would challenge your call, that would challenge your position, that would challenge your responsibility. But before we go any further, let me set the stage here. Prior to this text coming together with Aaron and Moses and them being challenged by Korah, a priest, who dared to challenge Moses and Aaron on whether they were as holy and if they were indeed the high priests. But Aaron and his brother Moses had been through so much before they got to this challenge. I'm sure we got Bible readers here, and you've read the story about Moses delivering the children of Israel from the Red Sea. Moses delivering God's people from the hands of Pharaoh. Well, God used them and called them for such a time as that. And now, this same Moses is in the wilderness with an awesome congregation, with God's people. And as you read and remember the story of Moses, how Moses was in on the backside of a mountain, and he heard the voice from a burning bush. And the voice was the voice of God. The voice saying is, I am who's speaking. And so Moses went on to do these great things in the land of Egypt to set God's people free. But then we find ourselves in the text this morning here in the book of Numbers, where a priest, Korah, and his fellow priests, Dathan and Abiram, challenged Moses. In fact, the second verse says, and they rose up before Moses and with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And it goes on to say that they challenged Moses. They said, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye yourself before the congregation? And so many times in life we find ourselves, God has called us to a great charge. Perhaps you're on your job, and you might be a supervisor, or you might just be a subordinate. But nevertheless, we have a duty and a responsibility. And someone would dare to question what you're doing, how you're doing it, when you've been given the charge to do it. And you have to be mindful and careful how you respond to people. People would have you and come at you in such a wrong way sometimes, and if you're not careful, you'll respond in the flesh. And they want you to do that. They'll want you to curse them out using profane language so they can say, see, I told you, he wasn't saved, she wasn't saved. That's the plot of the enemy. But the Bible declares here that Moses fell on his face when he was challenged. And I would encourage you all to fall on your face when you're challenged by your enemy. And watch how God responds to your prayer. Well, he was challenged, one. He prayed, two. And three, God answered. But when God answered, he prayed again. Let me tell you what God said to him. God said that this day, tomorrow, around this time, those that are before you and challenging you and questioning you, really they're challenging me, God. And so God said, watch and see what happened about this town. So we have to be careful how we respond to the foolishness that people present to us. In that 28th verse, it said, and Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. 29th verse, if these men die a common death of all men, and they be visited at the visitation of all men, then the Lord had not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth opens her mouth and swallows them up with all that appertains unto them, and they go down quickly into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as ye had made an end of speaking all these words, the ground clave asunder that was under them. In other words, the ground opened up, it quaked and swallowed not only the priest that challenged Moses, Korah, but it also swallowed up Abram and Dathan and their wives and their children. Look at that picture. Imagine the cries of Korah and his crew. So many times people are coming you the wrong way. You don't have to take this fight up your own. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord. But we see here that indeed the ground opened up. And not only did it open up and swallow up, but the Bible declares that fire shot out of the ground. And we might wonder, well, how could God do such a thing to these children? But he did it to their children. He did it to their tent. They were living in tents. And if they were living in houses, he would have did it to their house. If they had a car, the car would have got swallowed up. But he did it to them and all their possessions. If they had gold, jewelry, that got swallowed up. If they had pots and pans in their tent, that got swallowed up. God punished them for challenging him, for rebelling against him. And our theme deals with breaking every chain. And I would pray that God would break that chain of rebellion that's loose in the land today. The chain of rebellion, children, rebelling against parents. Children rebelling against their instructors or their teachers in the classroom. You can't learn if you're rebelling. A parent can't teach their child or train their child up the way they should go if they're rebelling against their parent. And the purpose for training up that child is because you love that child. But children, if you don't hear or heed the warning of your parents, you're subject to sudden destruction, just like it occurred to Korah and their crew. The Bible declares that Moses fell on his face because he didn't even want, after God told him what was going to happen, he wanted God to spare the people. And so God told Moses and instructed Moses to do this. Let Korah and his crew stand on their side. And those that be with you come on the side of safety. There is an ark of safety where the hand of God is. There is an ark of safety where the word of God is being preached and taught like it's done in this church. There is an ark of safety because prayers go forth from this place. On Monday night, sometimes it's just as crowded. On Wednesday night, sometimes it's just as crowded. There's an offer of protection here. You ought to come on in to this place. The Bible submits to us on today that the ruins took place there in the wilderness. But it didn't have to take place. But it took place because of their rebellion. And I would encourage you, my brothers and my sisters, to consider the warning given to these men. You might be called to sing, but don't hang on someone else because they sing a sound better than you. You might be called to be a mechanic, but don't hang on somebody because their shop is always busy and you only have folks trickling in every now and then. Whatever gift that God has given to you, you're entrusted with that talent to bring it as far as it will go. But in the process of time, there's a maturity that comes with having that talent. And you got to wait till that thing grows. You got to, it's like a seed put in the ground. You put a seed in the ground, you don't get a crop in a matter of a day. Dr. Ward talked about the three trees. Trees don't sprout up overnight. But nevertheless, you're entrusted to, by faith, just wait your turn. To just wait and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Bible submits to us on today, even from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, the 5th verse. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for the iniquities, our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace, of our peace, was upon him. So I would say unto you, separate yourself, be true to yourself, and go out and share that gospel message. And don't be rebellious. Because Jesus died on the cross so our soul wouldn't be lost. And if you refuse to take heed to the warning that we read in the scripture on this morning, then you would be subject to sit in your chain. We sing that song every Sunday. Break every chain. We need that song to get in our spirit. That we would what? Allow God to break those chains. Chains are real. When you see a crackhead on the corner, that's a chain. When you hear of somebody taking a gun and taking somebody's life, that's a chain. When you hear of somebody, your friend, telling you, girl, I snuck out on my old man last night, my husband. That's a chain. And you need that chain broken. You can't skin and grin with folk when they're sharing their sin and their shame with you. You got to take that thing to heart and recognize that's a chain. And if that chain isn't broken, they're going to find themselves in the pit that burns, that never ceases. Break every chain. Allow yourself to be separated from folk. Don't set yourself up for failure. Sometimes we have what is called self-inflicted wounds. The devil didn't do it to us. We did it to ourselves. Sometimes we think about, as we sing this song, I know I do, my own personal chains. But I never forget. Whatever God did for me in the past, he can do again. Whatever deliverance God has brought in your life, he can bring it again. You got to love yourself enough to say, Lord, break the chain. You got to love yourself to understand, I was delivered from this, or I was delivered from that. I must separate myself. What do I mean when I say separate? Step aside. Step apart. Christians are called disciples. We're called disciples because we're God's called out ones. And he called us because he what? Sent us out. He sent us out to accomplish a task. And that's to spread this good news, this gospel of Jesus Christ. This message is real. It might be the old book, but it's yet the truth. And it has endured through generations, and it shall endure generations to come. I submit to you today as I close that Jesus, who died on the cross, he was brutalized, really. You think Rodney King was beat bad? He was brutalized. And he was an innocent man. That's the thing. That's the good thing. He was an innocent man. But it took an innocent man to die for sinners like you and I. And they crucified our Lord. They crucified our Savior. They put him on that cross. And they nailed his hands. They nailed his feet to the cross. And then they what? Pierced him in his side. Blood came gushing out. It wasn't a fairy tale. It wasn't a farce. This is a real event. This is a real event that took place in life. Not just a movie, but in life. And if you don't want our Lord and Savior to die in vain, you must examine yourself and see where you are in the faith. Not your neighbor, but you. Not those who have done you wrong, but you must examine yourself in the faith. See where you stand today, because tomorrow is not promised.